You're tuned into Let's Talk Up Close and Personal with Dr. Nathalie Chase Thompson and friends. Without further delay, let's get right to it.
Good evening and welcome to Let's Talk Up Close and Personal. This is Dr. Nathalie Chase Thompson, and I hope your Saturday has been, I won't say splendor because we have Sunday splendor, has been spontaneous, has been super, has been splendid. All those S's, whatever S's you want to call it as a Saturday. Let it be all of that and more. So today I have Dr. Mary Jo Jackson here with me. She's not a stranger, of course, but I don't think I've had her on this year. So this is her first visit with us this year. And we're just going to have a little girl chat today. Going to have a little girl chat about life and, you know, the cares of life and ministry and motherhood and being a grandmother and just things of that nature, because a lot of people are experiencing a lot of different things during this time. And it's not just about COVID-19. People are experiencing other health challenges, financial challenges, emotional challenges. And some people just don't know what to do. They're losing hope. They're losing faith. They're losing trust in God. They're losing belief in themselves. That they're losing out on the truth of who they are. That God is not a God that's just with us during fat times, but He's a God that is also with us during the lean times. And if we think back to our ancestors, before we had AC, before we had all these medications and all, they grew their crop. They had animals on a farm, or they might have had one pig or a couple of chickens or whatever the case may be. And they did what they needed to do to make ends meet. They ate, they stretched, they improvised, they adapted, and they overcame hard times, and they just kept going with it, and nothing could stop them. Mm-hmm. Now, I said all that because she's a little older than I am, so she has a little more, she has, you know, some years on me, wisdom-wise, and she's experienced some things that I've never experienced, but I do remember, like I said, sometimes going through and being around people, even family members, that I just couldn't understand how they were making it. Because as a child, I knew their situation. But when it came time to eat, we might not have had any meat, but we ate so good. And I look at it now, if some of these younger people had to go through some of that.
Yeah, please.
So, jump right in.
Well, as you said, I am a little few years older than you, and I've experienced a lot of things, but and what I've experienced through my childhood up until now, it really groomed me into the person that I became. But I was born in Georgia.
Okay.
I'm the oldest of eight. My mom had five girls and three boys. And every day wasn't a bed of roses. You know, I remember back when I was a little girl, we used to, every time my mom would get pregnant, well, we moved to Jacksonville when I was 2 years old. Then my mom went back when she got pregnant with my sister. She went back home, they call it back home, to have the baby. We came back to Jacksonville in 2 years, but in between them, she got pregnant again 2 years later with my brother, and she went back to Georgia and had the baby. And during that, okay, I was born 48, my sister 50, my brother 52. And it was that year 52 when we went to Georgia and that I lost my eye.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know that I, you know, have a prosthetic eye, but I lost my eye. And that was the last time that my mom went back home to have babies.
Wow.
You know, the rest of my siblings were born here in Jacksonville. But in the process of going back, you know, 2, 4, six. You know, it's like we would go back and forth. I began to remember things. I can remember being 4 years old when I lost my eye. I can remember it just like it was yesterday. So we are able to maintain a lot of things from, you know, childhood. Mm. But I remember, you know, on the in the country with the chickens and the pigs and the cows and the goats, you know, all of those things, and the cotton and the peanuts and the corn and all that stuff. You know, they used to grow their crops and their foods and even their medications, because my grandparents lived so far out in the country. I don't think it's on the map yet.
Wow.
You know, it was just, you know, a little drive through. You blink your eye, you through that little town. But we were so far back in the woods and in the country. So you had every now, I don't know how often this thing called a rolling store would come through, but there was this truck called a rolling store that would come through, and, you know, we'd get the candies, you know, the different flavors of candy and cookies and cheese, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, life was simple. It seemed hard. You know, I remember taking my little tail out in the cotton field, picking cotton. I didn't know that was their livelihood, you know, that and they didn't. It wasn't even minimum wages back then. But that's what they did. You pick the cottons, and they call it shuck the peanuts. You pull the peanuts and, you know, shake it, and potatoes and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. Did I get off your subject?
No. No. I mean, no, just reflecting on. Because back then, like you said, it was the simplicity of it all.
It was so simple.
But now, if some of the younger people, even myself, if I had to go and pick cotton, I'm sorry.
And you know, I remember going out chasing the chickens. You know, we played with the chickens during the day, and then the next thing you know, my grandma, go get that one. You know, you got to take it. My aunts would take the chickens and wring their neck and pull, you know, take the feathers and stuff, and then they would cook the biscuits and make the syrup and the greens and all that good. Sit on the porch and shelling peas and throwing sweet potatoes in the fireplace. You know, just
I can
like
do
that.
All of that, but I ain't finna rain no chicken neck and pluck no feathers.
And then everybody sat to the table and ate dinner.
Cause then I would have been a vegetarian.
No, you wouldn't have.
Yeah, whatever. No, you're right. You're right.
Even when granddaddy went and shot the coons and the rats,
I wasn't doing that. But you're right. I wouldn't have. You know why? Because they didn't give us an option.
Put
in front of you, you better eat it.
I'll starve.
Uh-huh. You weren't going to pick and choose what you got. Okay, you got this. Yeah, you saw me just kill this chicken. Mm-hmm. And then you saw me, and now you see me frying, and I got a short thigh, a drumstick on your plate. Mm-hmm. I sure do. And what?
You better eat it.
And what? You better eat it.
And it was so good, you chew the bone. You get the bone.
You know, you better eat it, or you will not be eating anything. You're going to eat, and it wasn't that you're going to eat this, and you're going to, you know, scrape off the fentanyl, because everybody's going to sit right there at the table until everything is done.
Absolutely.
And then you're going to have to clean up. But nowadays, what do you want to eat? Little Johnny, what do you
want
to eat? I don't like. How you know what you don't like?
McDonald's, okay. King,
but how you know what you don't like? You've never had it before. Mm-hmm. Well, I heard so-and-so. I don't care what you heard, so-and-so. So-and-so don't live here. You know, and yeah, it sounds joking. We're joking about it. But during these times, there are people that's getting food stamps that never thought they would have got food stamps.
Absolutely.
Before. But they thank God for those food stamps, because they see how much they can do.
Yes, ma'am.
With that little bit of money that they get, they look at as being, oh, this is trivial. Mm. You know, this is, and now they're grateful that they're getting it.
Oh, yeah. Because I remember when we would go to the store, you'd pay 10 cents for a loaf of bread, 10 cents for a pound of neck bones, or, you know, whatever meat you want. and it was just so, I'm going to say it again, life was so simple.
It was,
and it wasn't expensive to live. You pay 5 cents for a pop, a cold, a drink, a penny for a cookie, you know, and then you take the tops from the drink bottle to the theater to go sit in the theater. Six RC tops or whatever. It's just simple. And if I could turn back the hands of times, I think I would go back
some of it,
and I'd do things over again. I would appreciate it more now, because what's happening now, our children take so much for granted. They don't appreciate anything. I remember a day like today when my sister and I but have to go two blocks or three blocks down the road with a kerosene, a 5 gallon kerosene can, to get fill up the can to bring it back home to put in the heater.
Yeah.
So that we could sit around the heater and be warm.
Yeah.
We didn't have a switch on the wall to turn on the air conditioning or the heat.
Yeah.
We didn't have the washing machine. You go in the washroom and just hit a button. We had those washing machines where you had to take the water, fill the washer, and then run the clothes through the wringer into a tin tub with rinse water to rinse the clothes. You got to rinse them about two or three times, and then you had to hang them on the line.
Yes.
You remember those days? And we didn't have washing.
We had a washing machine, but I remember having to hang the clothes outside. It started raining, and you had to wash them all over again.
Then when my mom was having babies, they didn't have Pampers.
Yeah, cloth diapers.
You got to take that cloth diaper and shake that poop in the toilet and then rip, get down in there and wash it out. Yes. Oh, my God.
Thank God for deliverance.
Girl, listen here. And me being the oldest, I had a heck of a lot of responsibility.
Yes, you did.
I did.
Yes, you did. And then the thing about it, these parents now, they want to give their children the world.
Mm-hmm.
They want to give.
We got once a year. Christmas.
They want to give their their children the world.
They don't
want to
earn.
They don't want to condition their children to do chores. They don't want to condition their children's mind to work to get anything. They want to give their children everything.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them giving their children everything are making them just as lazy and sorry
and
as they want and worthless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you get mad. Because when these children are growing up and they sitting on their behind and you slaving
working
through the house and they sitting on their behind and why didn't you do this? Sandra, why didn't you do this? Kiki, why didn't you do this?
Do it
for them. I ain't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wanna get mad, but how you gonna get mad at them for the monster that you created?
Baby, when we were coming up, each one of us had our chores, our responsibility. And we didn't get paid for doing what we were supposed
to
do.
Thank you. Well, an allowance?
Never had to did it.
What?
You better not go to bed and the kitchens, the dishes are not clean and the floor is not mopped. Mama coming in there in the middle of the night.
What out?
Yes, ma'am. And gonna whip your butt to the kitchen.
That's it.
You're going to do what you're supposed
That's
to.
That's it.
You might as well do
and it wasn't right. abuse.
No, it wasn't.
Because it taught you some ethics.
Mm-hmm.
It taught you some morals. It taught you some standards to do. It made you not be afraid to work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what if you don't work, but you have a creative mind and you can make things with your hands?
Mm-hmm.
You're still working. You're
Absolutely.
Working for yourself. You're becoming an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're creating your own business.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever the case may be, you're not afraid to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're not afraid to do something. If you're going to sit up and play somebody else's game, Jesus, you're going to sit up from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you go back and every free moment you have in between to play somebody else's game that somebody else created.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting paid from it. You're not getting any kind of benefit, but you're wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
But every time that person comes out with a new game, you're going to find some kind of way to get some money to go get that game.
Mm-hmm.
So you're making that person that made that game rich.
Mm-hmm.
You're making them rich. Now,
and you're getting poor.
And you're getting, okay, but why don't you, if you can see how to maneuver that game, why don't you draw
Develop
a game
your
yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Develop your own game.
Mm-hmm.
Or why don't you get and set up a video of you playing the game to teach others how to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then next thing you know, skillfully.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you do and charge them for it.
Come on.
You creating yourself your own self business and charge them for teaching them,
mm-hmm.
teaching them how to do it. You know, I mean, do something creative instead of sitting on your behind and doing nothing.
Absolutely.
And then when you get, then you get mad. I'm just waiting on God to do
God
what?
Waiting on you.
Well, I know God is going to do, you know, just what he said he's going to do. He won't leave me, fail me, or forsake me. Okay, but faith without works is dead, baby. You better get up and do something. Now, your works can't get you into heaven. No, but your faith coupled with your works will ensure you
a seat in the kingdom.
Hello, somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, so don't think we had gotten off of what we need to talk about now. But I mean, you know, you have people now that have become paranoid. They don't want to leave out of their house. So they're in the house all the time. Mm-hmm. They're getting big as a house because mm-hmm. they're in the house all the time. Mm-hmm. They're getting ill, not from COVID, mm-hmm. but because they don't get outside and get some sunlight
and exercise.
Mm-hmm. So things are shutting down on them and they don't even realize they're starting to shut down. Mm-hmm. They're not going to realize until it's too late. And then they're wondering why all these things, because you need to get out the house. Mm-hmm. You're becoming cranky. You're becoming irritable. You don't want to talk to your husband. You don't want to talk to your wife. You don't want to have sex with your husband. You don't want to have sex with your mm-hmm. wife. You don't want to have anything to do with your children because you're always around them all the time. Mm-hmm. You won't let your children go anywhere. You won't even hardly let them go outside and play. You won't let them do it. But everybody is cooped up in that house. You have created your prison.
Stir crazy.
Mm-hmm. And don't even realize mm-hmm. it because coronavirus has come. Well, you know what? If you believe the God that you say you believe, and let's talk about the one, people that don't have a relationship with God. If you so fearless on everything else, why be scared now? Mm-hmm. We're not saying be ignorant.
Absolutely.
And for both myself and Dr. Mary Jo, both of us have already had the quote unquote coronavirus. Mm-hmm. But guess what? It didn't stop us before we got it. It didn't stop us after we had it. Mm-mm. Now, I went through it a lot harder than most because we had no medications or nothing. So it lasts for me a little bit longer. But nevertheless, I came out of it. Dr. Mary Jo went through it after they were aware and had some treatments or what have you. It dealt with it. It affected both of us differently. Mm-hmm. I was thankful to be alive,
baby.
You know, at the same time, mm-hmm. I was just ready to get out the house mm-hmm. to do something. I was in Virginia freezing when it was going on. I was so glad when I got back into the sun. I didn't know what to do. Mm. But there are people that have even gone through this and now they're paranoid. Well, I can't go outside. I can't be around anybody. I can't do anything. You can catch it right there in your own house. Mm-hmm. Because absolutely. It's airborne. Mm-hmm. Because what if your neighbor next door has it? And they're all out in their yard. Mm-hmm. And they're sneezing and going on. Mm-hmm. And the wind carries it over to your yard. Mm-hmm. And you walk outside mm-hmm. to your mailbox. You got it. I mean, you know, somebody said, well, that's so far-fetched. Is it?
You just never know.
It's an airborne disease. Mm-hmm. Can you see?
No, ma'am.
What's in the air?
No, ma'am.
No. Can you? You don't even know which way the wind getting ready to blow from. Mm-hmm. If it's going to blow from the north or the west, the east, we don't know. But we know the wind is blowing. Mm-hmm. So with all of that being said, what do we do?
Better be careful.
Just be mindful and prayerful and keep living. Mm-hmm. Keep living before you literally run yourself crazy. Keep living before you become a hermit. Keep living before you allow life to pass you by.
My God.
Please don't allow life to pass you by. Please don't allow you to be, you know, forget to enjoy what the sun feels like against your face. Mm-hmm. Ride down to the beach, even if you don't stick your feet in the water, but I would. go stick my feet in the water. Walk mm-hmm. along the water. You don't have to stay all day, but get out of the house.
Amen.
Take yourself to somebody's restaurant and have a meal. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be okay.
All right.
You don't have to go somewhere with a sardine pack, but you go somewhere that you can see that they're practicing social distancing. They're doing something. But for God's sake, don't
become a hermit.
Don't become, you know, people are dying from other things besides COVID-19, coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Some people are dying from loneliness.
Yes.
And they're not sick. But because they've chosen to isolate themselves and stay home and stay away from everybody. And some people have died and they find their bodies. Because they're not really communicating. They get to the point that they're home and they forget they still can talk on the phone. Mm-hmm. But they become so accustomed to being alone mm-hmm. that they forget to even contact people. Mm-hmm. And people forget about contacting them. Well, I don't want to go by so-and-so house because I don't know. Well, guess what? All you got to do is knock on the door and let that person, even if they don't open the door, just let them hear your voice. Let them know that you're thinking about them. Call a person. Keep calling them until they answer. And if you don't get an answer, go see about them. Send somebody to see about them.
Welfare check.
Welfare check. Absolutely. Check for their welfare as well as for yours. If you know that there's an elderly person or a young family that they might not have a lot, or you've gotten wind that that husband or that wife or what have you has lost their job and you have some extra, don't be stingy. Give it to them. That's what neighbors used to do. Everybody on your street would help each other.
Absolutely.
But now it's me, myself, and mine. You know, no, it's everybody, because all of us are experiencing life at the same time now. Today is another opportunity to share love. Today is another opportunity to share grace. Today is another opportunity to be who God has called us to be and has commissioned us to go out in the high, in the hedges and the highways to compel others to come to him. Through COVID-19, who are we showing love to? Who are we extending grace to? Who are we sharing with? When I was sick, when I was in prison, when I was hungry, when I was cold, did you do the right thing by these people? Because when you did it right to them, you've done it unto him. Did you do these things without having to be seen? Did you do these things without having to be known that you did it? You might get some extra groceries, go ring a doorbell, sit them at the door, sit back in your car to make sure that that family gets the groceries, because you know they're in the house, and you just leave it and wait for somebody to come to the door to open it. Oh, I ain't finna do that. Okay. You might have just failed your test.
Oh, yes.
Because when that wind blows and then you find yourself in that spot, you're going to wish and pray that somebody would come and leave something at yours.
Oh, God.
Go ahead and share, because I'll keep talking.
Well, we just want to be mindful of, you know, those that are around us, because, you know, like you said, people are in so many various states of mind, and some are hopeless and some are homeless, some to the point of just giving up, suicide and all these kinds of things. So we have a charge as believers and as followers of Christ to be mindful of those that are around us, whether they be family or just people just haphazardly standing on the corner with the sign saying, I'm hungry. You know, there are some people with those signs that are they do it habitually, but then there are some that are out there now who really need the help. And I believe God will give you a discerning of spirit as far as those who are sincere in their needs, opposed to those who are just there as a daily occupation. So we just have to be mindful and ready, willing, and able to reach out and touch those who are in need, because we never know, like you said, when the tides will turn.
That's right.
We can be up today and down tomorrow. You look at the people up in the northern states. A lot of them are snowed in, and then there a lot of them have been ripped out of their homes by tornadoes and, you know, acts of nature. You can be so secure and so comfortable in who you are and where you are and what you have, not realizing that it can be snatched away, you know, in the blink of an eye.
Instantaneously.
Yep. And so as a result of that, you got to know, and you got to be mindful of the fact that you reap what you sow. If you haven't been benevolent and helpful and reached out and willing to help those that are in need, so many times people want to make fun of people when they have needs and those types of things. But you got to be careful.
Got to be careful.
What you say and do and how you treat people, how you respond to the needs of others and the concerns of others. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You do, because sometimes we get self-absorbed in what's going on with us. that we forget about our brothers and our sisters.
We think we got it going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And begin to look down on those that are less fortunate. But I thank God that he didn't make me out of that type of fabric.
Hello, somebody.
You know, he's given me a heart of compassion and concern for others, you know, and it stems from my youth, my growing up. You know, I remember when I was growing up, I was a victim of bullying.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
And so that's why I don't make fun of people. I don't, when I see somebody down, if I can help them, I'm going to put that hand and try to pull them up. But you know how kids laugh at you. You know, my problem was I had so many nicknames they would call me, and it would make me cry and go into a sheltered place. Dead Eye Joe and One Eyed Jack, and you know those types of things, the hurtful things. And so, because I felt the pain of those words, those piercing words, if I see someone with a handicap or with a need, mm-hmm. I'm compassionate toward them,
mm-hmm.
and I want to encourage them and reach out and touch them and let them know, you know, you're not what people say you are.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think people do bully people out of their insecurities.
There you go.
You know, because in spite of all of the names that I was called, all of the feelings of insecurity, it didn't stop me from getting to that place that God purposed me for. You know?
That's it.
And so I am.
And you're still going.
I'm still going.
Every now and then we press pause. Even when we don't realize we're pressing pause, and sometimes we wanna get off track, but then we catch ourselves and we get back on track.
Yeah.
We get back on track, and then we reflect back on times past.
Look where you brought me from.
Yeah. So how can I stop now?
It's too late to stop now.
That's it. You know, ain't no stopping us now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, because really, if you look at some of the things that you've had to go through in times past,
mm-hmm.
this is a light thing.
Oh yes, absolutely.
You know, I understand that some people have lost their jobs. They may be laid off, and unemployment in different states are taking longer than others.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have filed their 2019 income taxes ever since February of last year,
mm-hmm.
and they still haven't gotten it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wondering why. But you're getting stimulus checks, but you're not getting your income tax check.
Absolutely.
And right about now, this is perfect time to get your income tax check,
mm-hmm.
you know, to keep, because you're one step from being homeless.
Absolutely.
You know, we're looking for people that have the pop-up tents, companies that have pop-up tents,
mm-hmm.
that we can actually get donations,
mm-hmm.
of the pop-up tents. We want, you know, we're looking for different venues and different distributors that we can actually partner up with, so we can help some people,
mm-hmm.
to help them before they become homeless.
Absolutely.
To help them before they run out of their medication.
Or they lose their sanity.
And they'll lose their sanity. To help them before they at the verge of wanting to kill their family, kill their children and all,
mm-hmm.
because they can't make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
They see no way of hope. And the enemy is playing mind games saying, well, just kill them and kill yourself.
Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
Nowadays,
and that's in the church and out of the church.
I've been in business since 1982, and these past 2 years, well, last year and this year, seldom work.
Yeah.
But because of the seeds that I planted, I'm not wanting for anything.
There you go.
God keeps supplying, and I'm able to still help others,
yeah.
you know. So, you know, when you do things the way God intended, can I say God is obligated to bless us?
That's what his words say.
I think I read that somewhere. If we take care of it, it doesn't say verbatim, but
yeah.
if we take care of his business, he'll take
care
of
take
ours.
Care of.
And so, you know, when we supply the faith, that's all we got to do, bro. Trust and obey and believe that God's going to do what he says he will do.
He will
so we can't, you know, look at our lack and say, well, I can't do this, but do what you can with what you have.
There you go.
Be willing to, you know, give, even if it means giving your last.
There you go.
You won't miss it.
You won't miss it. Mm-mm. So we thank you for joining us today for Let's Talk Up Close and Personal. And we look forward to us joining us on next Saturday. Again, this is Dr. Nathalie Chase Thompson, and you be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in to Let's Talk Up Close and Personal with Dr. Nathalie Chase Thompson and friends. Be sure to tune in next week right here on Praise 107.9 for more raw, uncut, and to the point conversation. To contact Dr. Thompson, please visit LTUCNP.com or call 904-418-8611.